Well, good morning. Let's pray together to start a new year, all right? Father God, we thank you so much for your love for us. And Lord, we know from the words that we just sang that how great you are. This is all because of the finished work on the cross that we are who we are today, that we can stand in your grace now and forever. Father, no matter what kind of year that we had last year, we know that we have a new start, we have a new beginning. And Lord, so this day we come before you and we just recommit ourselves before you. Lord, I pray that you will cleanse us and you will use us for your glory this year. And I also lift up the ones that are not feeling good, that are sick this week, that cannot be with us today, and I pray for your healing hand be upon them, that Lord, that you will touch each one of them and bring them back to your house to worship you together in a strong body. And Lord, whatever we go through, Lord, we know that you are with us, that either we go through the fire, we go through the water, that Lord, you are with us. And so we just want to continue to trust in you and put our eyes, focus on you, so that we can have a perfect vision 2020, to see you as our Lord and Savior. And Father, I also pray for that tragic plane tragedy, that Lord, that for all those people that lost their life. And I just ask, Lord, that you will comfort those people. And Lord, that I just pray that you will just help us to have a sense of urgency to know that, Lord, we are lost without you. So give us that sense of urgency that we want to share the good news to all the people around us that you bring in our way. And give us that boldness to witness for you in this new year. And Lord, whatever that is holding us back, and Lord, we just ask that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit. That Lord, that this year that we want to have a new us, a new vision to really follow you and to just be with you and to just do everything so that for you to please you so that we can have a fruitful year. So we just want to praise you and thank you, and I pray that you will bless this church, especially bless all the leadership here. And I pray that you will give them renewed strength and a renewed vision. And most of all, that you are with us, that whatever we have gone through, that you have a better future and a better year for us. So we're excited and we look forward with this anticipation that you are with us, that you will do great and mighty things in this congregation. And I pray also that you will bring to this church the people that should be saved and that the people that should be here in this congregation, as in the book of Acts, that you added the number of the people that should be added. So, Lord, you are the one that added to this church, and we just ask that you would just help us open up our eyes to see these lost sheep around us, in our neighborhood, in our community, in our circle of influence, that you will help us to bring them here and so that they can hear the gospel and that they can be saved eternally by your grace. So, Father, I ask that you continue to be with us, that your Holy Spirit will continue to minister to us in words and songs, and just open up our hearts so that we can see you, we can hear directly from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Is it me there? The church now? Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year to you.
Good morning.
Are you excited that this is a new year, year 2020?
Yeah.
Wow, look, I feel so old. Well, when you think about it, a new year really is nothing magical. It's just, you know, another X on your day, right? Or another page that you tear down and all that. But why is it that we kind of feel so excited about a new year? I think maybe because we all have setbacks, you know, when you think back of the last year. We all go through regrets. We all go through failures in life. And then many times we suffer from the consequences of our mistakes. So a new year gives us some kind of a new hope for a new start, and kind of like a reboot on your computer, because my phone always gets stuck, and then when that happens, I just have to, you know, force it to shut down, and then when it turns on again, then it's working again for a few days. So a new year, you know, is sometime that we can have this fresh start again, and that we can continue to dream about the possibilities and the potentials about what it could happen, and we can set goals, and whatever that didn't work last year, we can revise our plans. So think about your life for the past 12 months, or maybe, you know, if you can't think that far, maybe just a few months ahead, you know, ago. Just think about all those missed opportunities that we had, or the mistakes that we made, or the wrong choices, or things that, you know, really that happened that we had no control over, or perhaps we've gone through a loss, or some kind of a bitter disappointment, or something that we thought that, you know, like if we do this, then we'll be successful, but then it turned out to be a failure. And then from that, then we feel shame and we feel guilt and all that. So it is very easy for us to just look back to what had happened. And then we kind of just wanted to stay there and living in those guilt and regrets and failures and pains and hurts. And we kind of got stuck in there. So for the scriptures that we just read in 1 Samuel 16 there, the prophet Samuel kind of went through this kind of a scenario. And so from that scripture there, we want to look into three ways that we can walk in this new year effectively, and that we don't want to be stuck there in our pain. The first point is that we got to leave behind our past. We got to let go of yesterday. In 1 Samuel 16, 1 there, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel?" You know that Saul was the first king of Israel, and God asked Samuel to go to anoint him. And Saul started pretty good, and he was a pretty good king, and then he fought the Philistines, and he won the battle and all that. And then after that, then God gave him another mission, which is to go and destroy the nation of the Amalekites completely. Now, what does completely mean? And God even spelled that out for him. He has to kill off everybody in there, no matter how old or how young. And then kill off all the animals, no matter how good the animals were. He got to kill them all out. But what did Saul do? He spared the king of the Amalekite. His name is Agag. And not only that, he also kept some of the best of the sheep and the goats and the cattle and all that. And then when that happened, God was really sorry that he made Saul king. And so he went to tell Samuel. He said, "I'm sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command." And when Samuel saw that, heard that, it says Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this, and he cried out to the Lord all night. He was really grieving. And then so the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. And Saul was so happy to see him and said, "Oh, the Lord bless you. You know, I did everything that God commanded me." And then Samuel said, "Then what is all that bleating of sheep and goats and the lowing of the cattle I hear?" And then Saul said, "Oh yeah, well yeah, I did spare some, but because I wanted to keep them, because they're really the best kind of sheep and goats, and I want to use them to sacrifice to the Lord." And Samuel said, "What is more pleasing to God, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?" obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering of the fat of rams. And then Samuel said to Saul, so because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And from that day on, Samuel went back to Ramah, his hometown. He never saw Saul again. And then the scripture says, but he mourned constantly for him. He mourned constantly for him. How long will you mourn? In life, we all experience grief and pain and hurts. That's normal. That is really part of life. But how long will you grieve? How long will you live in your regrets? How long do you want to remain in that pain, in that hurt? The question is whether you had a past. We all have a past. But what do you do with that past? Do you want to move on? Or you want to continue to be haunted by that memory or to be paralyzed by what had happened? You know, there's a natural human tendency for all of us that when we make one mistake, we kind of wanted to, you know, cloud our perspective from just that one mistake about everything. It's almost like we put on this lens of failure, that lens of hurt and pain. And then we want to see ourselves through that. So it's like we see ourselves as a victim, as a failure, as weak. And we define who we are through that mistake that we make. Do you know your past does not define you? One or two problems does not define your whole life. Your life is way bigger than what your problem really is right now. Most of the biblical characters we look at all have a past. Remember Abraham? He lied about his wife being his sister. And Jacob, he deceived his father for the birthright. And Moses got a major anger issue and killed an Egyptian. David, an adulterer. And then wanted to cover up that sin by having Uriah killed. How about Peter in the New Testament? He denied Jesus 3 times. And then Paul, the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul. He started out as a young man. At that time, he was a young man, and then he witnessed the stoning of Stephen. And he let all those accusers put their garments right beside his feet. And then after Stephen died, the persecution broke out. He was full of anger and threats and rages. And he was all out for the kill. And he went to get these arrest warrants to bring all those people that the disciples of Jesus back to Jerusalem to be bounded and to put them in jail. He himself says in 1 Timothy 1:13 there, he says, I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. But then in Philippians 3 there, the scripture that we read earlier, he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. He's leaving his past behind. What would you do with your past? The past does not define our future. We got to leave that baggage of our past behind. And the best place to leave your baggage is at the foot of the cross. Because at the cross, we know that Jesus has borne all our sins. He took all our sins and put it on him. He bore all our sin and our shame and our guilt. And the scripture says it's by his stripes that we are healed. We could be made whole again because his body was broken for us. And Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old past and the new has come. Leaving behind our past does not mean that we live in denial. Does not mean that we forget about the pain and suppress all these memories. But it just means that when this comes up, it no longer influences. We're no longer affected by that. We got to let go of our losses, our regrets, our pain, and our hurts, our shame, our failures, and all those wrong choices that we made. And we got to confess that sin, and then we can have a new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new way of acting and doing things. And we got to put on the old and put on the new, because we're a new creature. And we can say, this is who I was, but this is not who I am. And this is what I did, but that's not what I do. Paul, he says himself being the chief of all sinners, but he later on became the man who literally shook the world for God, the man who wrote more than half of the New Testament. A new year, a new you. It's time to stop mourning. It's time to focus on Jesus, because he has something great in store for you. And this moves to our second point, that we got to prepare for your tomorrow. So God went to Samuel and says, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil." The prophets usually carry this ram's horn, and that ram's horn is filled with these anointing oil. And they have a very important job, which is to anoint the new kings, usually. And we know that when God says, "Fill your horn with oil," that means Samuel's horn ran dry. That's what mourning can do to you. When you're constantly in this grieving stage, you know, it will really zap your energy. It will slow you down. Just think about, you know, if you're always just looking at the past, it's kind of like driving. If you're just looking at the rear view mirror when you're driving forward, how far can you go? I don't think you can do a very good job. You probably could still do something, but then before long, you know, you're going to be heading for a disaster. And when we look to the past all the time, it will really keep us from being our best. And God has a great mission for Samuel. He is sending him to Bethlehem to anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be king. And, you know, his job is to anoint the greatest king of Israel at that time. And David was a man after God's own heart, and the Messiah will eventually come out of David's line. And Samuel could have missed this great opportunity if his horn wasn't full of oil. So living in the past is the fastest way of losing our future. Do you believe that this year or this decade is the best for you? That God will have great opportunities for you? So you better be prepared for it. And now is the time to prepare for it. You got to fill it up before the opportunities show up. C.S. Lewis says, "There are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind. The best is yet to come." Do you believe in that? God has made you so much more. So don't settle for less. You are created for a lot more than what you're doing. Fill your horn with oil. We know that oil can be widely understood as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, "Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." We got to live in a way that we cultivate his presence, so that we can be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is guiding us and leading us. We got to live in that power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the same power that God raises Jesus from the dead lives in us, so that we can have this power, that boldness to witness for him. And we can have joy in the midst of crisis. And that we can continue to sing in the midst of a storm. And we can have peace while we are in turmoils. And we can let that fruit of the Spirit just overflow us. Fill your horn with oil, the oil of the Word of God. Paul in Colossians 3 there, he says, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And he also says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. And we know that when Paul talks about the full armor of God, one of the pieces of the armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we know that the Word of God can really help us to fight offensively and also defensively against the schemes of the enemy. Do you know that the Roman soldier actually also carry another sword? It's almost like a dagger besides the long one. And what the functions of that dagger is that sometimes when the enemy did get to them and then left a piece of the other weapon inside of them, they would use that dagger to dig in to where that piece of arrow or whatever was. And then they would try to pull that out. That's what they use. And that's what we need to do, is we need to use the Word of God to dig in to where the enemy has sowed all these poison in us that he got through in us. And it is the Word of God that could get us out of these kind of thinking. So fill your horn with oil, the oil of hope. Do you know in Peter there, 1 Peter, he says that we are born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a hope that never dies. It's a living hope. God is our hope. God is hope. He never dies. And he understands where everything is going to go. And he sees the end. He sees the outcome. And he knows how things will turn out at the end. So never give up hope, because he's got us in his hand, and he has got a great future for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And because of that, we can move on to the third point, get moving forward today. So back to 1 Samuel there, the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. Got to do it and do it now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Move forward today. Don't let your sorrow hold you back. C.S. Lewis says, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. Isn't that wonderful? Start today. Go your way. Paul says in Philippians there, he says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. The word straining actually literally means to grab what's in your face. What is in front of you? It's today. Today is in front of you. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow has not yet come. What we have is today. So grab what is in front of you. See the opportunities in front of you and seize those moments. God has something great in store for you. He has made you for a lot more. He wants you to be fruitful. Remember the parable that Jesus taught about the parable of the sower. Remember, there were four different kinds of soil. There's only one kind that bear a lot of great fruit and very, very fruitful. The other kinds all had some issues. There could be They were rocky, there were hard places, there were cares and there were worries and all that. And those are the things that were holding us back so that we could not be fruitful. But get moving today. Get rid of all those hard rocks. Forget about the past. And get that dagger out to dig out all the arrows the enemy planted in you. Our kids have this pediatrician, and he's a very wonderful man, and we just really love him. He's also a member of the Church of the Redeemer. And every time when Pastor Dale, the senior pastor, went away, he usually would fill the pulpit for him. And then he was like teaching Bible studies and all that there for a long time until like he's now all retired and all that. But he did not start out that way. When he was a young man, he was actually suffering from depression. And he was in the hospital for a long time. And he, many times, you know, he really wanted to just end his life. And then one day he heard this voice says, you can either stay in this mental hospital for the rest of your life, or you can get up and serve me. And at that moment, he made a determination. He made up his mind to get up and serve God. And then his depression was healed. And then he went to study medicine and became a pediatrician. You know, get moving today. Be what God intended you to be fully. A new year, a new you. Be on your way. Get moving now. But when we move, you know, we cannot just move in all sorts of direction. We got to move in the right direction. We got to have a purpose. We got to have a focus. We got to have a vision. The Bible says without vision, people perish. You know, if we don't have a focus and a vision, we will inevitably fall back to our past and we will give up. How do you get moving forward then? Again, we go back to Philippians 3 there. Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Our vision has only one focus, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith. Our eyes need to stay on him and him alone. We move forward with this confidence that God is with me. He is walking alongside of us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what. And we move on forward with the confidence that God is for us. He is on our side. If God is for us, who can be against us? And no one can snatch us out of his hand. We move forward with the confidence that God is in us, that his power lives in us to help us to overcome sin and temptations. He helps us to have that strength to walk in obedience and humility. And no matter how much we messed up, we can come back to him. And we can stand up again in him by his grace. And we can do all that is pleasing to him. And he can guide us to have good decisions. Decisions to really strengthen our inner being and to be more spiritual this year. Like we want to attend church more regularly and we have more consistent Bible reading, devotional time. We want to serve him in whatever area that we can and to give to the church for his locally and globally. And also to be in fellowship with his people, to form this community, that there's a community of love and caring. And also being with the right people that can really help us grow, people that will not drag us away from God, but people would encourage us. And that He is our only focus, that our eyes on Him, so that we can continue to trust Him and continue to have faith and continue to persevere no matter how hard the race is and never give up. You know, this year, we can have all this determination, and everything really starts from our mind, from our thinking. You know, when we think certain ways, that's going to affect our emotion, our feelings, and then we will do things. It would affect our behavior as to what we will do. So a new year, a new you, really begins with our mind. Do you know that the main battleground is done actually? It's in the mind. Do you know that Satan really understands that? That's why he always comes to attack our mind first, to bring back the past, to say, see how you have messed up there? Look at that mistake. Look at that missed opportunity. Oh, look at that loss. Look at that pain that you have. And then he plants all these viruses in our brain to poison our thinking so that we could not do anything for God to be fruitful. And the devil also has a way to exaggerate a problem, to make it so much bigger than what it really is. And it's almost like he created this gravitational force that would just pull us into this black hole and that to this dark places so that we will be defeated, that we will be destroyed. That's why the writer of Hebrews, he says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." We all have a responsibility to help one another to see the grace of God, not to focus on whatever happened before, but focus on how good our God is, how faithful He is. He is a good, good God. It's full of grace, it's full of truth, it's full of compassion and mercy. He is not there to destroy us. He is there to grow us, to make us stronger. A new you really starts with a new mind. It's a transformed mind. A transformed mind simply is to see things from God's perspective. To think God's thoughts, to see the end being good, being better. It is part of life to go through all these losses and hurts and pain. Peter, he says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." You know, it is really a common thing, a part of life, that God uses to help us grow, to become stronger. So we need to see things from God's perspective. You know, how do we be joyful, as what James says when we're going through trials? He says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." How do we do that? It's because God already sees the end. You know, he explains it. He says, you know, "so that we can be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." That's the purpose why God allows us to go through all these trials. You know, when we fight, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. Because Jesus has already won the victory. So if you know that Jesus already won the victory, that what we are doing is from the perspective of fighting from victory. The victory is already won. So that's why we can have this confidence that we can continue to endure and persevere and not to give up, no matter what. And that's why we can sing in the middle of a storm. There was a man who had a business, but then he didn't do very well in his business. He declared bankruptcy. And then after that, he decided to run for the politics. And then he was again defeated for legislature. Then he went back to his business, and again he got he declared bankruptcy. And then after that, his sweetheart fiance died. And then the following year, he had a nervous breakdown. But all that did not crush him. Again, he thought, I should try being a politician again. So again, he ran for the election. And again, he was defeated. And a couple years later, he decided to give the U.S. Congress a run. He was defeated. And then 3 years later, he tried again. And he was defeated again. And then another 2 years later, he tried again. And he was defeated again. And then after a few years, he decided to run for the U.S. Senate. He was defeated again. And then after that, he decided to run for the U.S. Vice President. He was defeated again. And then...
Stop. What would you advise this guy to do at this point? Think about that.
And then 2 years later, he decided to run for U.S. Vice President. And guess what? He was defeated again. And he still did not give up. And then 2 years later, he ran for the U.S. Senate. Guess what? Defeated again. And then in 1860, he ran for the President of the United States. And he became the 17th President of the U.S. history, Abraham Lincoln. 16, yeah. You cannot fail unless you quit. You know, in the Christian walk, there really are no super saints, only the ones that will not quit, will not give up. You know, when you think about the resources that we have in Christ Jesus, how can we quit? How can we give up? We have such a great cloud of witnesses right in front of us. And we have the one who holds all of tomorrows, holding our hands. And he is the one that makes all things new. And he says, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I'm the author and finisher of your faith. Paul says in Timothy there, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Can you put your trust in this God this new year and believe that he really has great things in store for you? So let go of your past. Let go of your yesterday. There are way better things waiting for you this year. And be filled with your spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and cultivate his presence every opportunity that you have, and go on your way and put your focus on Jesus alone. How year 2020 will turn out really ultimately is your choice. How will you write this new chapter of your life this year? How will you write it for your family, for your church, for your community? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this new year because you made all things new. I thank you, Lord, for the new grace that you have given us. And I thank you, Lord, that no matter what comes our way, we know that you're always here with us. Oh, Father, we want to leave behind all those things that are keeping us from who we can be for you for this year. And give us a focus on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Give us a 2020 spiritual vision this year so that we can persevere. We will not give up. We will continue to endure and run this Christian race that you have for us. And help us to be fruitful and bear fruit for you this year in 2020, that we will have that we will bear a lot, many fruits and much more fruits for you, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.